Our first reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 22. Teacher, which is a great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then from the book of Philippians, and this I pray, that your love may overflow still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may discover the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and blameless for the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of God for the people of God. And you may be seated. Now, I'll tell y'all this. I know last Sunday was Communion Sunday. Communion Sunday is always just a little bit longer than a normal Sunday, but we did run over quite a bit last Sunday. So I'm going to try and cut y'all loose early. Now, I'm not making any promises, so, okay? So just, you know, hang in there. Over the last 25 years, it is said that church or religion has been in decline. Some people say church religion is irrelevant. It's hopelessly outdated. It's worn out. You know, so much so that it just needs to be put out to the curb like an old worn out piece of furniture, you know, and just picked up and carried away. But what if the problem is not faith, not our belief, but the way faith has been practiced by people, by the church? What if faith, our faith, your faith, and the faith of followers of Christ is in need of restoration, renewal? And in that process, you find a meaningful, compelling faith, one that will lead you into an enriched life, will also give you a closer relationship with Father, Son, Spirit, and have a positive impact on you and a positive impact on the people and the world around you, wherever you are at. We're talking about a faith that might draw people back to church, back to God. A faith that will draw people to church, to God, that have never been part of a church family before. A faith that will lead people to ask questions about faith and about God. And asking questions is good. In 1970, it was said that 70% of Americans were members. 70% of Americans were members of a church, a temple, or a mosque. But at the end of 2023, that number had dropped to only 45%. From 70 to 45%, and that drop is somewhere around 40 million people. Can you believe that? 40 million people who do not attend any community of faith. Why? Why did they drop out? Why did they stop believing? Why did they stop going? Why did they leave? And I'm not talking about people that just got up and left because of the pandemic and just never came back. I'm talking about people that left the church for other reasons. A survey was done of about 6,000 people all across the country. Now, I have to tell you all this. This is the survey answer. They not come from me, okay? I just want to get this part straight. But the survey was done to find out why people left. The number one reason, 67% stopped believing what their religion taught. Number two reason, 47% cited the church's negative teaching about LGBTQ people. Number three, 32% said the church was bad for their mental health. Think they might have had a trouble with mental health to start with? Number four, 31% said sexual abuse scandals among clergy stopped them from going. Number five, and the last reason, 30% cited the church as polarizing politics, how politics had entered the church. What I found was a good number of those that walked away are what we call fundamentalist and evangelical Christians. And they were given the name deconstructionist. Deconstructionist because they looked at their faith piece by piece and walked away. How their faith had been picked apart. Some found other faith communities, but most of them just walked away from their church, their faith, and never came back. Another term for the evangelical Christians, very easy, ex-evangelicals. People that just walked away from their faith. But what would a church look like that might draw some of those back? Some of those back that walked away from their church, back to God, back to their faith, or might draw people in that had never been part of a church. There's a Latin word, and this is okay. There's a Latin word. I'm going to try to pronounce this. Eruditio a religio. Okay? It means knowledge and intellect. When it comes to religion, what John Wesley called vital piety. Everybody know what piety is? Devotion to God. Devotion to God. Giving God time. Devoted to God. Many of those that left said what they were taught growing up, they just could not live by any longer. Do you remember growing up what you were taught? Do you find it hard to live by? Do you remember what you were taught growing up? But mainly they were taught it was forbidden to ask questions about what you were taught. It was forbidden to have doubts. They said they were told just whatever you taught as younger and older, you do not ask questions. You just accept what you're taught and go on. No questions. To never express doubt because a doubt is the enemy of faith. Now, from our Wednesday night Bible studies and Bible studies I've been involved in, doubt can be the road to a deeper faith. If you take it right, because when you have doubt, when you have questions, and you let that doubt, you let take those questions, and you research, you use that doubt to dig deeper into the Bible, dig deeper into research, dig deeper and try to understand what God meant, what God means. That questions and doubt lead to a deeper faith, a deeper understanding, a deeper relationship with Father, Son, Spirit. And again, from the book of Matthew, and I've said this verse many times over the last couple of months, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and what? With all your mind. And again, I've said this verse many times, all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. The idea is to think through, to reason with, to wrestle with, to use that thing between your ears in following and coming to God. I think everybody here probably remembered, everybody this morning remembered the old commercial. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. Remember that one? A brain is a terrible thing to waste. Well, I've got another one. Your faith is a terrible thing to waste. Your faith is meant to be pursued, just as Jesus said, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and what? With all of your mind, to read and study Scripture, to dig down deep into what God has given us, His Word, that there is a God that created each and every one of us with a purpose and calls to us, a God that gives us morals, gives us values, and a God that gives us brain to make choices about those morals, about those values. And God understands if we have doubts. He understands if we have questions. There are things in the Bible that sometimes it is hard to understand with that little thing between our ears. But if your God, if the God you worship, if you think that God, if you think you have all figured out, you know everything there is about God, then your God is way too small. God is not glorified by ignorance. God is not glorified by bad or superficial theology. And God is not glorified by gullible followers. Before the election, this last election, I watched a very short piece of a sermon, maybe 15 minutes, of a preacher in California. During the time that I, and this was from a really big church. Now, take it, it's California. In the time that I watched him, he never mentioned God. What was he preaching about? His candidate. I won't say who his candidate is, but take it, it's California. But, I mean, he was all he talked about was talking about his candidate, talking against the other one. And I mean, the church, in a large church, they were standing up, hooting and hollering. And then he put a picture of his candidate up on the screen, and the church erupted. I mean, went crazy. There was a lot of hatred stirred up in that church that day. Do you think those people were using their brain the way that God intended them to use it? Do you think that that church that day was the church the way that Jesus intended it to be? The way the early church fathers pictured church. The church that we read about in Scripture. Jesus said, the day will come when some will cry out, Lord, Lord. And Jesus will reply, I never knew you. How often do you see something, and I've said this many times lately too, on the internet, social media, and think, no way. But people still share it, people commenting, yeah, it's about time. Never taking the time to do any kind of research, never using their brain. It said Christians are twice as likely to believe conspiracy theories and spread fake news than unaffiliated religious people. You know, and I've experienced this firsthand. I know followers of Christ that will never open a Bible, never ask questions or seek answers to questions. But I've known atheists and agnostics that have questions, and they will sit down, they will actually pray. I can be an atheist and pray. But an atheist that will actually sit down, open the Bible, and see what God says about something. And yet followers of Christ that will never do that. Seems that common sense is a thing of the past. From our Bible study, Wednesday night, this was in our Bible study. Today, we can just as deliberately turn our backs on the manger and the cross. God is not indifferent when he finds his love slighted and despised. A nation, a church, a house, or a heart where the grace of God has been received in vain cannot fail to be an object of his righteous displeasure. A nation, a church, a house, or a heart. And then this. What's your definition of holy? We call God holy. There's an expression of two divine attributes as sung by the seraphim's hymn in Isaiah. God's holiness as inherent in himself and his glory as manifested in the earth. We use the word holiness, yet wonder at times just exactly what it means. Holiness denotes fundamentally a state of freedom from all imperfection and realized with such intensity as to imply not only the absence of evil, but antagonism to it. It's more than goodness, more than purity, more than righteousness. It is embracing all of these in their ideal completeness. A holy God where unrighteousness, where sin, where darkness, where nothing evil can even stand in his sight, cannot even be in the same room anywhere close to him. And yet that God came and walked among us, the most unholy place there is, to tell each and every one of us, to tell the world what? I love you. I love you. And then goes to the cross for us, for the world. And yet, there are followers of Christ that will never open God's word. In 2021, MIT put out a report that in 2019, before the election, 19 of the top 20 Christian Facebook pages were run by Eastern Europeans, that everything on these pages was fake news trying to mislead Christians. I tried to find out what those 20 top Christian Facebook pages were. Couldn't find anything about them. And then, election in 2016, the magazine Christianity Today said Russians were putting out fake Jesus sayings before the 2016 election to stir up American Christians. And the sad part about it is, many people never question any of it. In my experience, the ones that left the church mostly because of any of this were young adults. Because from my experience, the older adults, one, they just don't do social media, so they never saw any of this. But the other, the older adults just don't care. They don't care. They're satisfied where they are in life, in their relationship with God, and just really don't care. Again, from the Apostle Paul, that your love may overflow still more and more in what? In real knowledge and understanding, so you may discover the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and blameless for the day of Christ. And what is the day of Christ? When Jesus Christ comes again. John Wesley described himself as a man of one book. And what was that book? The Bible. Yet his library contained thousands of books. He was an avid reader. But his one book, the Bible. I mentioned last week Southern California University was affiliated with a church. And I couldn't find, but I found this week, it was affiliated with the Methodist Church. And because of that, they say they did not admit students based on race. Duke University, started by the Methodist Church, on its seal has the Latin words, Rotrio el Religio, knowledge and religion. It's their motto, signified the institution's commitment for intellectual learning, and spiritual values. Most people leave the church or stop going altogether because of doubts or questions that never get answered. And they just cannot put up with it. Albert Otler, a Methodist theologian, looking at how John Wesley studied the Bible, and he came up with the Wesley Quadrilateral. Anybody ever heard of that? How Wesley studied the Bible. Later, he said he probably was not a very good name because he came up with four sides. Anglicans practiced three of these. Outler added one more. Number one, and the base and foundation of everything is what? Scripture. Scripture. That we believe the Bible was written over a period of about 1,500 years by different authors. From the beginning of the Old Testament, telling from the beginning of time, all of God's people to Jesus Christ and the early church and how people lived out their faith. Jesus, Paul, the apostles, and how they practiced it. We believe God was working in and through those biblical authors. And just like the Constitution is how we run our country, the Bible is how we live out our faith. Wesley believed you needed to dig deep into the words of the Bible, engage your mind, your heart, your soul that has been given to us by God. Your brain has been given to us by God, and God intends us to use our brain to study his word. And he also believed that you look at what the early church fathers had to say and how the early church fathers lived. And he called that tradition. And he said, use your brain. Part of that is reason. Then Wesley added experience, meaning the Holy Spirit working in you and leading you, guiding you. Scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. Scripture, Jesus Christ being the cornerstone, the base, the foundation. Everything we do and do not do based on Jesus and Scripture. I hope this church, and I pray for every church around the world that never requires that you check your brain at the door, that you want to study the Bible this day and every day. And coming together as a family, coming together as people of God, as followers of Christ, to study the Bible, you come to a closer relationship with Father, Son, Spirit, but you also come to a closer relationship with each other, and you become a family. And it only happens when we spend time together. We study at home. We study together, because in doing that, we grow. Then I have to add one more thing. Hoping that we'll grow will draw people in to ask questions about our faith, about our God. And in doing that, growing, it leads us to living out our faith. That you cannot be a follower of Christ sitting on the sidelines. You have to live out your faith every day. So if you don't, how are people going to know about your faith? You have to tell them one way or the other. And who was the man that said, if you can't do anything else, sometimes you have to use words. But you live out your faith in action, in small acts of kindness. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we give you thanks for this day and every day. Lord God, we pray to lead us and guide us this day and every day. Lord God, lead us and guide us, Father, Lord Jesus, to give our time, our lives, to open your word, to come to you, to open our life to you. Lord God, that we may grow in closer relationship with you, Father, Son, Spirit, in your Son's holy and life-giving name. Amen.